Good evening, I'm Al Voner, and you're listening to this week's edition of The Public Eye, right here on 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. Leading up to the holiday, and really a great time to have this my guest this week on, because she's written a new book, and I think it really has a place under many of your Christmas trees. My guest this week is author and educator Carla Kaplan. Her new book is Troublemaker, The Fierce, Unruly Life of Jessica Mitford. And before we go any further, I do want to say that over the years, it's always been a pleasure. I've had the opportunity to interview so many people, whether it be from an educational background, writers, political people, people from, as I said, many diverse backgrounds. What makes this particular evening in this interview so special is that Carla was born and raised right here in Worcester, so we're adding a little bit of the local flavor to it, if you will. So for the next half hour, we'll be talking with author Carla Kaplan about her new book. Carla, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back in Worcester.
How'd you like that, though, huh? We put a little we put a little pizzazz into Worcester, and I hope you didn't mind me saying that, because
not at all. I'm proud to be from Worcester. Just delighted about it.
So many people, I think, as you and I talked a little bit earlier, that so many of the major cities across the country get all the notoriety, if you will. But you know, this is a place many of us call home, and many talented, like yourself, many talented people have born, raised. Whether they continue to stay here or move on, it's still a breeding ground for a tremendous grouping of people who have really added to the culture of not only this region but in the country. But let's get right to it. Troublemaker, the new book, The Fierce, Unruly Life of Jessica Mitford. Now, I said to you before broadcast that I've had the opportunity over the years to interview, you know, writers, historians, especially authors. And I thought many names would resonate when it comes across my desk, but this one kind of stumped me. Jessica Mitford, and I'm going to let you talk about it because you wrote the book. What I've learned is that she was a British aristocrat who kind of gave all of that up and really trailblazed a direction that perhaps her family and friends would never have thought. But let me ask you directly: who was Jessica Mitford?
Well, thank you for the occasion to introduce people to her who don't know her, and the occasion to introduce her to people who've heard of the sisters but didn't know that Jessica Mitford, of her six sisters, who were quite famous in their own day, was actually the most interesting of them all. There's a bit of a Mitford revival going on right now with a number of books that are all appearing at once and a BritBox TV show that some of your listeners might have seen called Outrageous. And it's a show about all six of these sisters. And Jessica Mitford was one of six women. There was a brother, too, but we probably won't bother with him today. There was a brother, but there were six sisters born to a very eccentric aristocratic family in the English Cotswolds. In fact, their parents were so eccentric, even in a world where being eccentric was taken for granted, they were so eccentric that the family was known throughout England as the Mad Mitfords. They were very insular. They didn't believe in exposing their children to the outside world. And that was pretty easy to maintain because we're talking about a manor house that is set off by itself in a village where everybody in the village works for the family. So these six girls grow up very cosseted, very protected in this gorgeous manor house in the Cotswolds, but they have no outlet. So the parents don't believe in education for girls. And they have six daughters who are not only exceedingly beautiful, all of them, but who are creative and playful and full of energy and bubbling over with ambition. And they don't give the girls any outlets for that. So first, the girls sort of turn to each other. The neighbors call them a savage little tribe. And then the girls all kind of reach up into the air and pull imaginary futures for themselves. And if it's okay, I just want to describe all the sisters for a minute and then focus on Jessica, mm-hmm. if that's okay.
Sure.
So here she is. She's one of six sisters. They pull down these imaginary futures kind of from thin air, really. The oldest sister is named Nancy. She wants to be a famous writer. She goes on to be one of the most famous writers in England for all the mid-centuries of the 1900s, most famous for Love in a Cold Climate and The Pursuit of Love. Next is Pamela, the only one to stay out of the public eye. She is a countrywoman. She's married to a wealthy physicist. She leaves him eventually for a German woman. She keeps that out of the press. The next, who is always in the newspapers, is named Diana. And Diana marries Brian Guinness, heir to the Guinness beer fortune. Mm. And she leaves him for a married man named Oswald Mosley, who is the head of the British Fascist Party. He is married. He is carrying on an affair with his wife's sister. She leaves her husband, and this is unbelievably scandalous. She has two children. She leaves a husband for the head of the British Fascist Party. She spends her entire life as a fascist. In fact, during World War II, she is in Holloway Prison in London. She spends her life with Oswald Mosley, notorious figure. Then there is Unity Valkyrie Mitford, and you just can't make this stuff up. Unity Valkyrie Mitford was Jessica Mitford's favorite sister. Unity becomes enamored with the idea of Hitler, enamored. Mm. She goes to Germany, and she stalks him at his favorite lunch restaurant for months until he notices her.
Yeah.
He does notice her because she is 6 feet tall, gorgeous, blonde, and obsessed with him. So how is he not going to notice, right?
Right.
So he notices she becomes his intimate. There's a lot of debate over what we should mean by intimate. I'll put that aside for right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when Germany and England declare war, she goes into a park in Germany, takes a tiny little pistol out of her huge handbag, puts it up to her temple, and pulls the trigger.
Oh, wow.
Now, the bullet lodges in the back of her head, and she lives for a number of years more with very diminished capacities. The youngest sister becomes the Duchess of Devonshire. She marries Andrew Cavendish. She becomes the Duchess of Chatsworth House. Hundreds and hundreds of rooms, one of the most famous houses in all of Europe, still open to the public, well worth seeing. So here's the milieu out of which Jessica Mitford comes. This wild but very right-wing family, she decides at 15 that she wants to be a socialist and a communist. She writes away for socialist literature. She is filled with rage over social and class injustice. And at 19 years old, she runs away with her second cousin, Esmond Romilly, already himself a famous rebel, and Winston Churchill's nephew. And they actually go to the Spanish Civil War, and then they make their way to the United States. He is killed in the war. He volunteers with the Royal Canadian Air Force. He's shot down over the North Sea. She remarries. She marries a left-wing Jewish lawyer. Spends her entire life. I don't know how you could get further from the Cotswolds than what she did. She spends her entire life, believe it or not, in Oakland, California. And for 20 years, she's a phenomenally successful civil rights activist. And then she bursts back into, if I can quote the name of your show, she bursts back into the public eye in a huge way. In early 1960, with a memoir of her crazy family called Hans and Rebels, it's hysterically funny. Her calling card is humor. She had irrepressible humor. She couldn't stop making jokes. 1963, she writes a blockbuster book called The American Way of Death. And it is an expose of the funeral industry. And what she's interested in doing is exposing the way that the funeral industry preys on working people. And she had discovered through her husband that whenever somebody who was part of a union dies and their widow, typically a widow, gets a death benefit. And your readers may know, because I know Worcester has always been kind of a union town, your readers may know that, you know, unions always provide a death benefit. Mm-hmm. Well, she became aware that every cent of that death benefit was somehow always sort of magically claimed by the undertakers. How did they know, right? How did they know how much it was? And how did they talk people into giving up every penny?
Right.
She writes an expose of this. And what's incredible about her expose is not only that she is relentless with people who take advantage of other people financially. I mean, she gives them no quarter. She just kind of, you know, she lets them hoist themselves by their own petards, as we say. So it's all their own words that indict them. Their own. She reads all their magazines and their newsletters. She goes to their conferences and she takes notes, you know, on how they're designing to steal money from poor people. So she just, you know, publicly exposes them. But what's incredible about the book is it is laugh out loud funny.
Well, that's what I'm saying. As I'm listening to you describe this family, I'm thinking to myself what I'm aware of, and I think a lot of people, at least perhaps in the past, maybe not so much today, always believed that British were more reserved, and you talk about the family not wanting to expose their daughters, you know, to the outside world. You know, they didn't really support the idea of them gaining much in the way of education, and yet each one of them was a real scrapper, if you will, and chose to. And I don't know if it was maybe because the parents had tried to keep a heavy hand on them, and they decided to push back. But did it surprise you that this somewhat conservative British family that, you know, wanted, you know, especially for the sake of image, you know, keep everything undercover, had these daughters who fought back in such an independent way?
You know, it's so interesting to think about it that way, because I do think one of the reasons the Mitford girls, they were always called the Mitford girls, you know, even when they were in their 70s, one of the reasons the Mitford girls have been perennially fascinating to their fans, there are websites devoted to them. And as I say, there was this recent television show and there have been movies, but until my book, not so much on Jessica, is that here is a family, as you say, that's very much keeping to themselves. And yet they have six girls who are very culturally important, who create a real impression on other people, who couldn't be more out in the world, except, of course, for Pamela, who made a point of staying in the country and keeping quiet, and who are all so brilliant and creative. Now, some of them turned their brilliance, you know, to really unfortunate choices. Of course, I'm speaking of Diana and Unity. But they, you know, all made an enormous mark on the world. And what is the chance that one family would produce six women of such energy? And, you know, it raises a question of in how many other families where women aren't given outlets, where young girls who are creative and full of energy and full of ideas aren't given a chance to express that. Are there other Mitford girls out there? Are there other stories where we see this? You know, of course, we can think about some instances, and I have to admit that for me, it's the British ones that come to mind. I think about the Bronte sisters.
Mm.
So, but we have our own examples of famous sisters. They haven't all turned their attention to making a mark in literature or in politics the way the Mitford girls have done. Many people compare the Mitford girls to the Kardashians. You know, what would have happened if the Kardashians had turned all that energy away from externals, away from fashion and experiences, you know, appearances, and towards the culture in some way. Would we have had something more like the Mitford Girls? We might have.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a very interesting question why one family can produce so many fascinating individuals. The other, of course, interesting question is why, when five of them went to the right, politically, you know, culturally, were either very traditional in the case of Debo, a duchess, or were, you know, wildly right-wing in the case of Unity and her sister Diana, why do we have this one renegade, this one rebel who goes to the far left wing? Jessica Mitford spent almost 20 years as an activist in the American Communist Party, and then as a muckraking writer, and she's really responsible for reviving the genre that we know as muckraking, and that we sort of later credit people like Ralph Nader and Barbara Ehrenreich for. But she's the one who really brings it back to life in 1963. You know, why does she go in this completely different direction from her family? And she used to ask that question.
Well, especially when you consider the fact that during World War II, England was aligned as an ally with the United States as well as other countries, pushing back against Nazism and Germany. I just want to take a quick pause at this point to remind our listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. My guest this week is Worcester-born and raised educator and author Carla Kaplan. Her new book is Troublemaker, and we're talking about a life of a British aristocrat, and as Carla has been describing, a family that did not believe in exposing their inner self, especially their six daughters, to the world, and especially Jessica, the one who really became, who had notoriety right up to the end. And Carla, the other thing is, the people that she aligned herself with and became, I guess for lack of a better term, not only friendly with her, but even followers in her ideology, Dr. Benjamin Spock, the great writer Maya Angelou, so she was... I guess what I'm trying to say, and I want to get your sense on this, is that she was taken seriously by serious people, right?
Oh, incredibly seriously. So even before she became a very successful writer, and the thing that people won't know today is that in 1963, she was not just a best-selling writer, but she was the very top of all the best-selling lists. So The American Way of Death, her breakout book in 1963, was an absolute blockbuster bestseller. She was all over the television, all over the radio. In fact, if I can just share a little anecdote of how influential she was, she was directly responsible for a very important and often noted piece of John F. Kennedy's funeral. So after Kennedy's horrific assassination, the Texas funeral homes, wanted to honor the president. Of course they did, right? And, rightly so.
Sure.
And they put the president in the finest bronze casket they had, just this glorious metal casket. Well, Robert Kennedy, not the current one, but the previous one, Robert Kennedy was very influenced by Jessica Mitford's American Way of Death, which had just come out. And he said, absolutely not.
Oh, wow.
I want my brother in a simple wooden casket. This kind of ostentatious display is undignified, which was part of Jessica Mitford's argument.
Right.
That we needed a more dignified way of honoring the dead. And he had that casket replaced with a simple wooden one. And the simple wooden casket has often been noted in descriptions of President Kennedy's funeral.
Right, yeah.
And it was because of Jessica Mitford. So her influence was absolutely enormous.
That's incredible. I remember that as a young boy watching that on TV. And
Do you remember that wooden casket?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep, and the idea.
Because of her.
And there was that sense of wanting to put forth the idea of simplicity, nothing over the top. He was just another person like you or I. He was part of the people, if you will. I didn't realize that Jessica Mitford had that kind of influence on the Kennedys.
She had a profound influence, just an enormous impact at the time, and she was able to have it. Partly because she was an unbelievably dogged researcher. She had no education, so there was nothing to stop her research. She went down absolutely every rabbit hole. So that book is just kind of wildly researched. You know, she tells us about the whole history of burial. The chapter on embalming is unbelievably detailed. It's almost like you're in the room. By the way, if I can just say to your listeners, do not read the embalming chapter over lunch. Only read the... No, I'm serious about this. It's actually that detailed.
Wow.
She had an incredible impact. And the reason she could do it is she was so funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, a book on death that exposes corruption is one thing. But a book on death that does that and makes its readers crack up on every page, now, that's something, right? And she goes on from there to a really storied career as an investigative journalist. The reason she was close to baby doctor, Dr. Benjamin Spock, she wrote the book about his trial. People forget that he was arrested for conspiracy in 1968.
Correct,
and tried in the city of Boston, where I live now. And she wrote the book about it. So they were very close.
Wow. Amazing, amazing. I mean, we don't have a lot of. We only got a few moments left, and this is just getting more interesting as time goes by. No education, comes from a fairly well-to-do conservative British family. Did not believe in educating their daughters, and yet she came to this country. You know, came from England to a new land, and had that kind of an impact. So let me ask you in the few moments that we have, to this day, here we are in the year 2025, does Jessica Mitford's imprint still resonate with people today?
I actually think it resonates now more than it ever has for two reasons, or maybe three. One is how completely she transformed herself and how successfully. And for people who feel stuck in their past or stuck in their background, she proves that you can make yourself over anew and keep the pieces of your background that you love. One of the things she loved was the humor of her sisters, and she kept that. And she is also enormously important right now because she was somebody who was not only deeply interested in other people, but developed that incredible skill of empathizing with others and really caring about other people's struggles and other people's difficulties. And she came from a milieu in which that is not part of the childhood training. You know, the aristocracy, let's face it, they are not famous for social empathy, right?
Exactly.
In fact, right, if they had to be really empathetic, they probably couldn't survive the way they survived. But she learns to be this so it tells us that quality can be learned, that is something we can all develop. But the other thing that I think makes her so important today, she comes from one of the most divided families in the country, and many of us just came through Thanksgiving with the difficulty of the Thanksgiving table being on opposite sides from one another politically. And we live in a moment where the political divide is really emotionally painful for most of us. It's become so difficult that we don't know if we can talk to anybody anymore, let alone our relatives.
Yeah.
Well, she stayed connected to her right-wing family in complicated ways all her life. And there's a model in how she did it. She also kept up for her the fight for justice and the fight for fairness by keeping up her spirit, by saying you can do it without sacrificing laughter, without sacrificing fun. You can have dinner parties and still keep up the fight. For people who are dispirited today, and a lot of us feel pretty socially dispirited, she's a wonderful example of how to keep our spirits up.
I have to agree with that because you're right. She didn't let opposition. She didn't let people with differences in terms of philosophy rock her boat, if you will. She kept she kept to her beliefs. And you can't help but respect someone. You know, you may not always agree with it, but the fact of the matter is that she could have easily been influenced to just give it all up and just, just walk away from everything and never be heard or seen from again. But she stayed the course. And that alone gives reason to why people should pick up Troublemaker, The Fierce, Unruly Life of Jessica Mitford, a tremendous read on the life of an individual. And as you said, Carla, no one would have, back when she was a child, no one could have envisioned where she would went from this. If people want to get more information or pose questions to you, I know you're teaching American literature down at Northwestern University, but how might they reach you? Oh, Northeastern, I'm sorry. Northwestern.
That's
correct. That's why I have trouble getting home at night.
Yeah, let's keep it in Massachusetts. It's all at Northeastern, yeah.
Terrific. But if they want to reach out to you, is there a way where they can pose questions or just find out more about your background?
Absolutely. So the best place to go is my website, just www.carlakaplan, Carla with a C, Kaplan with a K, .com. And it will direct you to my Blue Sky page and my Facebook and my author web and my author email.
Terrific.
So I welcome comments. I'd love to hear from listeners, and I hope people enjoy the book.
I got to tell you that, two things here now. Carla has left the door open. She's welcoming your comments, your feedback, questions. So please take advantage of that. And secondly, Christmas is on our doorstep. A great read especially for those who love books. I know I do. I know Carla does. Troublemaker would be a great addition to anybody's mini library that they may have in their house. Again, the book is Troublemaker, The Fierce, Unruly Life of Jessica Mitford. My guest has been the author, Carla Kaplan. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the Public Eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.